Welcome back to On the Record. This is Mark Z with my colleague Jeffrey Davis. We're at our premises at O'Brien and Levine. We're here with Chris, our producer, to talk about a number of subjects that affect the legal community, and we have the best of best clients as we have Legal Week here on the Record. And we've been fortunate to have some of the top litigators and top attorneys in the city. And the next attorney is John Elder. And John, you're the partner at Hinckley Allen, one of the key partners at Hinckley Allen. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks to you both for having me. It's great to be here.
Pleasure. So, John, you want to tell us a little bit about your practice and your firm?
Sure. Well, Hinckley Allen is probably most known, at least in this city, for construction, but it actually goes back to 1906, was founded in Providence, Rhode Island. One of the founding partners actually was T.F. Green, as in the governor, as in
right.
The airport.
Right.
So there's a lot of history there, not just in time, but in sort of attachment to the area. So that's nice to have. We now have branched out. We have multiple offices
right.
all over New England and also over in Albany and New York City. So it's evolved
wow.
quite a bit. My group, construction, started in 1984 when the Boston office was opened, and it was driven largely, not surprisingly, by the Big Dig.
Right.
And basically, I mean, it's probably not a stretch to say that our firm, Hinckley Allen, represented probably every major contractor involved in the Big Dig. So that was really the springboard for the construction practice. Since then, we've retained most or all of those clients, I'm happy
Excellent.
To report. And we've obtained some serious successes in some major cases before the Big Dig Dispute Review Boards.
Excellent.
Lots of litigation, lots of day-to-day advice to contractors on those cases, and pretty much everything since. So.
Excellent. Well, first of all, your firm has a great reputation. It's what's interesting is, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, you're like the only key firm. I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, and there was Edwards and Angel and Hinckley Allen. You were
right.
the two leading firms. And today, there's not only no more Edwards and Angel, I mean, now it's a Dallas firm that has a presence, but
Correct.
Hinckley Allen really took a different model, and it really expanded its base, and you're in key cities all over New England. And as you talk about, you're in Albany, New York City, but the presence, I think that was a educated decision where you decided to focus on key New England states where there would be a lot of synergy in your practices.
Absolutely, and that's obviously Providence, Boston, Concord, and it's interesting you would say that because I actually had a connection previously to Edwards and Angel. It was I previously worked there in one of its former iterations. And you're right, there's been this movement in the larger firms to go towards the bigger model. And Hinckley Allen has made a strategic decision to stay close to its roots,
right.
to expand, I think, cautiously and appropriately in its footprint. Now, that said, we have established a national presence,
oh,
particularly
right.
in construction.
Right.
You know, we've represented clients all over the country, Las Vegas, you know, Florida, out in the in the plain states,
right.
know, Kansas, at the federal level and the state level. So
right.
we've been all over the place, even in Canada. So it's a sort of regional physical footprint, but we're happy to report that we've got a national presence now as well. So that's good.
Well, it would absolutely. And what's interesting though, by using that strategy, you can go national. But you have your base. I think when firms expand too much, not only do you dilute the cohesiveness of the firm, I'm finding, but like in the case of Edwards and Angel, to Edwards, Angel, Palmer and Dodge, to Edwards, Wildman, to Lock Lord, eventually...
you lose your identity.
Right.
Yeah.
And so so that's important. Now, we talked about how you got involved in construction law. What's interesting, I just think that when you talk about Big Dig, there's so many... issues that still stem from the Big Dig, and it's become a big footprint in Boston. So it's interesting that you've now become a and the other interesting thing is you organically grew your Boston office, where a lot of firms come in and they don't do so. And so it's interesting though, now you're part of the Boston landscape, and that you're involved in like the biggest, you were involved, and now you continue to be involved in
right.
some of the biggest issues in Massachusetts.
Right, and I think when you had the success that we had, sort of going back to I want to say our founding construction partners, but obviously when you had the successes that we had coming out of the Big Dig, you know, we formed trusting, lasting relationships. And another thing is that we have these great synergies, and synergy is not a, one of my favorite words. I realize it's thrown around a lot.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is we have these great overlaps. It's not just construction, but we have sort of labor group. We have a white-collar criminal defense group that is, both of which are very well-versed in the issues that have, you know, fortunately or unfortunately for our clients, have
right.
popped up in connection with a lot of these major construction issues.
Right.
And we're able to call upon them immediately. And so I think our clients are seeing sort of this full suite of services that they can depend on us for, so they don't really have a reason to go anywhere else.
Right.
So that's worked out well.
That's important today because, again, especially they can be collaborative with you.
Right.
Because you understand the firm. So. Can you explain how construction is really different from other areas of law? Because it's so complex in terms of a lot of the legal issues that stem from it.
Well, for sure. You know, and it's interesting. It's very fact specific. Okay. So just not, in terms of the issues, we actually always joke that in construction that there's only a dozen reported cases out there that matter. Right.
Right.
And we all know what they are. Right.
Right.
And so it's not so much... the legal issues necessarily at first. It's always very, very fact specific. It's very document specific. When you're talking about delay claims or construction defect claims over many years for many millions of dollars involving, you know, five different subcontractors, for
right.
example, you're talking about a lot of documents, a lot of facts, and how do you sort that out? How do you tell the story? How do you present it in a clear, understandable way to an arbitrator, to a jury, to a judge who may not be well versed in construction issues? And also, how do you sort of explain that to your client in a way that's digestible, easy, and communicates the path that you want to get to? I like that challenge of having to pull together all of those complicated facts and trying to present the best possible story for your client. So I really like that. In terms of the challenges of the industry of the practice of
right.
law, I mean, you know, contractors are working on very tight profit margins to begin with, okay?
Right.
They deal with a lot of headaches on a day-to-day basis. They have very high costs generally, and they're subject to escalation and inflation and just all kinds of industry pressures. So sort of the last thing they want to do is dump a bunch of money into litigation, right? So you have that sort of pressure where you sort of an increased efficiency, right? And so we take an approach with our clients from day one is, you know, what's the big picture? What's the end game? You know, what does our client want out of this and how much is it going to cost? You know, for
right.
example, it's a very different thing. If you've got a $20 million delay claim on behalf of your client, there's a lot of upside there.
Right.
Okay. If you've got a claim against your client for $5 million or for $500,000, and your best outcome is you don't pay $500,000, but you pay $300,000 in legal fees to get there, it's a very different thing.
Correct.
You know, we have to ask those questions right off the bat to try to sort of formulate the most efficient path to, you know, getting a solution. And the great thing is about construction is the clients, really.
Right.
I mean, it's a different sort of breed of person, different breed of client, a little bit different than maybe doing, you know, financial services litigation, and that's nothing against financial services folks, but
right.
you're not dealing with a big corporate machine typically. You're dealing with the guys on the ground, you know, and these are people who are used to getting stuff done. These
right.
are people who want to build things. These
right.
are people who want to move forward with completing the project. And they tend to be down to earth, hardworking folks with a very practical perspective. You know,
right.
how can you solve this problem for me?
Right.
And I really like that. There's something very appealing and sort of refreshing to that. So,
so you're more when you, which is an excellent approach, I think, that when you're sitting down and you're saying, well, what's our end game? You can help the firm at more as a an advisor to help them manage the process and help them manage their, because it's a big business decision.
Right.
And so you're really involved in that as opposed to just letting the clock run, the meter run, and really sometimes people don't realize that, it, as you say, sometimes it's better to pay out or settle, depending on the situation. I mean, to settle or go to litigate or to go to trial. And it's a balancing.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, that end game also starts with, you know, trial preparation, for example, starts before trial even becomes an issue, before a dispute even arises. I mean, what do your contracts look like? You know, what have you been working with for your contracts? And so we'll help negotiate the contracts and change the form of contract that our clients regularly use so that, you know, we don't get into trouble 6 months later and turn into a $1 million dispute, something that could have been avoided for, you know, $5,000 worth of contract review.
Right.
So it's all about starting from the ground up with the client, getting them well situated to approach every project, you
right.
know, in a way that's going to avoid disputes.
Right. And it sounds like it's worked because these clients that you've represented from the Big Dig days have taken your approach and they're continually looking at you to help them in other situations.
Absolutely. I'm, like I said before, you know, we work regularly with people from corporate, from white collar, and from labor, who now have great relationships with our construction clients and great expertise in the various areas that overlap. And you know, whether it's doing a deal for a construction client, you know, in the corporate world, or whether it's labor issues or OSHA issues, we've got that covered. And then, unfortunately, you know, there's been a real trend in sort of prosecution for what they call false claims,
right,
or, you know, DBE, MBE compliance, which is, you know, minority business enterprise stuff. And this is stuff that, you know, it's been done a certain way for decades, and now suddenly DOJ is coming down on, you know, contractor clients who have not really made any sort of intentional errors, but you'd be surprised at the level of sort of criminal prosecution that's occurring for contractor clients working on public jobs. And so, you know, we have a real asset in our former federal prosecutors that are now working in our firm, who can handle those investigations.
Excellent.
Who have been very successful in sort of fending off those investigations and clearing our clients of wrongdoing. You know, we have a lot of former assistant attorney generals at the state level who are now partners in our group.
Right.
And so that all brings you back to, as well as to relationships with these various entities. And that's not
right.
to say that we can give you an advantage because they know us, right?
Right.
They're not going to cut corners on the law. But to have that relationship, to have that respect with
right.
people in the DOJ, with people at, you know, MassDOT or Massport or other awarding authorities or at
right.
the AG's office,
right.
you know, that's a huge value add for our clients. So.
Well, you know what it seems like, starting with the previous attorney general, even you're not talking just the DOJ and everything, but the previous attorney general and Maura Healey, it sounds like, again, they're watching your clients, because there seems to be some prosecution, continual prosecution in some of these areas.
That's correct. It continues to happen for what they the so-called false claims.
Right.
And you'd be surprised at what has been interpreted as a false claim is a much broader interpretation, I think, than most people in the industry would agree to or even saw coming. So,
right.
unfortunately, and those are the kinds of cases that are not fun for us. We don't like to see our clients put in a position where there's a potential for criminal liability, or where they're under investigation. But you know, we've had great success in defending against those claims. So that's been really good.
Well, to have a number of former attorney generals and people in compliance on your team, I think that really helps. That really helps your client and gives them some star power.
Absolutely.
We're running out of time. Else, I literally
already
am a junkie for.
We just got here.
Seems like we just got here because I could be listening to you. I really like the subject. John, if somebody wants to reach you get to know more about what you do and potentially need representation in this specialized key area, how would they do so?
Well, they could call me.
Okay.
They could email, they could stop by our firm and you know, we're always having actually seminars that we do that are open to contractor clients and non-clients alike, that basically, you know, give updates on the state of the law. If you're asking for my contact information,
please.
I'm happy to give that.
Please.
My phone number is 617-378-4208. My email is jelder@hinkleyallen.com. And Hinkley is with an INCKLEY.
Excellent. John, thanks again for coming on our show. And we're so glad to hear about your subject. We hope you can come back on, because I have more questions to ask you.
I would love to come back. Thanks for having me. It's been great. It's been it was faster than I expected, but like I said, I'm happy to talk more next time. So thanks
Excellent.
Again. Appreciate
Excellent.
It.
Pleasure. This is Mark Z with Jeffrey Davis. We're on the record at O'Brien and Levine, and we are here all week in interviewing the best and the brightest with John Elder from Hinkley Allen. Thank you, John, and we will be right back from Radio Entrepreneurs.